How's everybody doing today? Good. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. If you're watching online, thanks so much for tuning in and joining us. I'm Jason. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really thankful to be here, and I'm thankful you're here. We are in week 6 of our series, The Bones Are Good, and if you happen to miss any of it, I just want to encourage you and let you know that you can go on to our website and you can check out all the previous weeks. You can also check us out on the app, our Grace Church app, and check those out there. I just encourage you, if you miss some, go back, listen to them, and that way you can be all caught up. And so we're in this series called The Bones Are Good, and it's and this series is kind of based on a song called The Bones by Maren Morris. And in her song, she drives home this point that if the bones are good, the rest don't matter. That if the bones are good, things will figure themselves out. The foundation's strong. If the foundation's strong, then we can weather pretty much any storm that comes, right? And so each week we've been focusing on different lyrics from these songs and looking at the biblical truths found in them and applying those to our lives. And so this week, instead of pulling a phrase from the song, I decided to just look at one word, and the word is we. It's we. The song says, we're in the home stretch of hard times. We took a hard left, but we are all right. We. And today I want to look at that one word and why it's so important. So you may have driven in today, you might have seen the sign, it just says we. You might have been like, oh, it looks like someone stole some of the words. That is not the case. It is just we. And if you'd come here on Tuesday, it was even better. Someone in the middle of the night had switched them so it said ew, which honestly is pretty funny if you think about it. But don't vandalize people. But it was pretty funny. So we, if you think about it, we is a powerful word. It's a powerful word because it means we're not alone. Anytime you say we, you're not alone. It's you and somebody else, or maybe it's you and a group of people, but we has this power. There's strength in we, and we is stronger than just me. All right, we is stronger than just, there's evidence of that everywhere we look. I was thinking about this, just this idea of we, this group being stronger than one. I love movies. I don't know if you do, but my favorite movie of all time is Lord of the Rings. And because I'm a nerd, but I love it. And in this movie, if you're not familiar with the plot, basically, there is a quest that needs to happen. And they realize pretty quick they can't just send one person to accomplish this goal. And so they end up sending 9 to do it. And each one of those 9 people contribute in some way, shape, or form to this quest. And it wouldn't have gotten as far as it did if it weren't for those 9. I don't want to give away the ending, but it wouldn't have made it as far as it did. I also think about the Avengers movies. I don't know if you watch those movies, but there was a ton of them. And just looking at all these superheroes and recognizing, man, these are powerful beings. But even them, when they go one-on-one against someone else, sometimes they don't win. And they came to this place where they realized that to accomplish their ultimate goal, they would have to figure out how to work together. They would have to figure out. And they did. They figured out that they needed to work together, that they needed each other. I was thinking of the movie Castaway. Have you seen Castaway with Tom Hanks? It's a little bit older. So there's not a lot of we happening in that movie, if you're familiar with the plot. He's kind of marooned by himself on a desert island. But he recognizes his need for companionship, his need for someone else. So he creates a friend. Anybody remember his name? Wilson. Yes, this volleyball named Wilson, and that becomes his companion because he knows there is this need. I think about all these romance movies. They all come down to this, you need we to have this. And that's the thing, really. That's the bottom line, is that we are better together. We're just better together because we were made that way. It's in our DNA that we are better together. I think about that famous line from the movie Jerry Maguire, "You complete me." You know that line? That's all of us. We were made to work together. That's how we were made. Now, if you wouldn't mind taking your outline out, if you don't have it out already, and just get a pencil, I'm gonna have you underline a lot of things today. because there's a lot of really important truths in these verses from Scripture that I don't want you to miss. And so let's jump into this. I'm going to read from Romans 12. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. Underline that, each with a unique function. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've been all mingled into one body in Christ. Underline that. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another. Underline that. And circle the word vitally, because that's a big one. With each contributing to the others. Underline that. Each contributing to the others. Now, I want to just dive in and dissect this verse real quick, because some of the things that we underlined there, I don't want to just pass through them. So that first phrase that you underlined, each with a unique function. Listen, we are all unique, and that's a great thing. We're all unique. And this is something we should celebrate. We celebrate the fact that God didn't make carbon copies. All right? He custom designed you to be exactly the way you are. And that is a great, great, great thing. So we should celebrate that. And the next line we underline, for though we are many, we've been mingled into one body in Christ. So here's the cool thing. Even though we're all unique, we've all been gathered up into one body in Christ. We've all been gathered up to be a part of this body of Christ. And next, we are vitally joined to one another. This is huge. We're vitally joined to one another. Do you know what vital signs are? You ever seen any, been in a hospital or seen any hospital shows where there's the beep, beep, beep. That shows you're alive, and then beep, shows you're obviously not anymore. Those are vital signs, right? And so the definition of vital is concerned with or necessary to the maintenance of life. We have been vitally joined to one another. That means our survival depends on others and on each other. We need each other to truly live. We need each other. Why? Because we pour into each other, each contributing to the others. The last thing you underline, we pour into each other because we make each other better, because I need you and you need me. That's how we were made. The Bible says that we've been woven together, both personally, I have been woven together, you have been woven together, but also all of us together, we've been woven into this body of Christ. You are amazing. You are unique and you are significant. Sometimes we may look in the mirror and we're like, I don't really like what I see right now, God. I don't believe how I can be some sort of significant part of this body. I want you to know that that is a lie. Don't believe that for a second, because you are important and you are amazing and you are wanted and you are needed and you are loved. We were made to be a part of one body, all of us working together, all of us. Not everyone doing their own thing, not everyone saying, walking around saying, hey, look at me, but all of us walking around saying, hey, look at him, look at Jesus. That's what we were made to do. We build each other up. We work hard, we play hard together, all for the glory of Jesus. So today I want to look at how we can all be a better part of this we, this body of Christ, this we. How can we be a better part of we? Instead of just going through life looking out for me, how can I do this? How can we be a better part of the we? How can I make everyone around me better? That's a great way to look at it. How can we do what this verse just said? Knowing that we're all vitally joined together, that we need each other, how can we each contribute to the other or others around us and make each other better? Well, it starts by this. I want you to write this down. The first thing we can do is just be you. Be you. Know this. You being you makes everybody else better. You being you makes everyone else better. Because God made you unique for a reason. He's never made exact replicas. Yes, there are twins out there and there are people that look alike out there, but even twins, they're not the same. They've got different hearts, different abilities. They've got different interests and passions. They've got different life experiences. Our life experiences are always different. And those life experiences determine what direction we turn in life and where we go and the things and places we go. All right? We're all different. And we're all unique and it's beautiful. And we need to celebrate those differences, right? I'm a little weird. I have some weird things that I either like or don't like. One of the things that I just don't care for is chocolate chip cookies. And I know this is hard to accept for a lot of people. It's not that big of a deal, but I get hammered for it every time I say it. I like to encourage you to believe that if I don't like them, that means there's more for you, which is a win for all of us because I don't have to eat them and you get more. But that's a tiny little difference. There's differences in us all over the place. And we need to make sure that we're not hating on the differences of other people. And we also need to make sure that we're not hiding those differences. You know, I think too often we cover up the very things that make us unique because we're trying to fit into something, right? We cover those things up. And I don't know why we do that. Why do we conform? Why is that something that we do? Why is that something that we revert back to? I was thinking about it. I was wondering, maybe it's because the voices that matter most to us make us feel like we have to. Like whoever you listen to, whoever's voice matters most to you, whether it's the voice of some friend or maybe it's someone you don't even know, but you really value their opinion. Whoever's voice matters most to us, I wonder if that voice makes us feel like we have to conform. So let me ask you this, whose voice matters most to you? Whose voice are you listening to the most? Whose voice is the loudest in your life? Because as Christians, you know, the desire obviously is for God's voice to be the loudest, right? I mean, that's the goal. That he's the one we're listening to more than anyone else. And the best place to hear God's voice is in his word. Constantly, every day, in his word. This is the best place we can hear God's voice. And the cool thing is, the more we read his word, the louder his voice gets in our life. The more we read God's word, the louder his voice gets and the softer those other voices get. Those other voices that tell you got to look like this or be like this, those go lower and God's voice gets louder. I want you to listen to this. Romans 12 says, "So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we're made to be. Without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it." Man, I don't think you could say it any better than that. I'm going to read this again. I want you to just listen to these words. This is so powerful. "So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body," let's stop there. You are excellently formed and you are marvelously functioning. Even if you may look at yourself, you're like, "I don't see that." It doesn't matter what you see. God knows it. God made you, and he sees you as excellently formed and marvelously functioning. Listen to this and underline this. "Because of that, let's just go ahead and be what we're made to be." I love how he just says it. Let's just go ahead and be what we're made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. So we got to stop comparing ourselves. Stop saying, "Man, I wish I looked a little bit more like him," or "wish I looked a little bit more like her." Or maybe I wish I had that job or this job or I had this kind of money or that house or whatever it is that we compare, right? We got to stop doing that because when we compare, it either makes us feel less than or it makes us feel better than. And both of those miss the mark. When you compare yourself with someone, you either feel less than them or better than them. And neither are true because we're all unique. We're all special. We're all different in great ways. And that's what makes us beautiful, makes us excellent. Remember, we are all each vitally important to the body of Christ. You are vitally important as you are. We don't need 500 people walking around trying to be the same body part. It's weird. And it doesn't work. That's not how God designed this body. So be you. Because if you don't be you, then we all miss out. Since we're all vital to each other, we're weaker if someone is trying to be something that they're not. So it's best for the we if you just be you and embrace who God has you. Embrace who God made you to be. Next, we need to be an example. Be an example. If we want to be an active, participating part of the we got to be an example. And we don't be an example just to be better than somebody else or to so that everyone looks up to you. It's not a pride thing. It's just to be an example. It's just doing the right things, right? It's about focusing on my own walk, my own spiritual growth, my own thoughts, my own actions and words, and recognizing that if I'm healthy in those areas, then the natural byproduct of me being healthy in those areas is that I'm setting an example. I am being an example for others. Another way to look at it is this: me being better makes the we better, makes everyone else better. So if I'm setting a good example, then hopefully that encourages other people. And then vice versa, those times that we're struggling, those times that are hard, that maybe those seasons that are a big struggle for us, we look to those around us. Maybe it's a friend, family member, whoever it might be. You look to those people, and those people who are setting that example for you, we cling to those. I mean, that's about being part of the body of Christ. We carry each other sometimes when we need to. We help each other pull through. It's just another example of how we need each other. Look at this in 1 Timothy 4. It says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." Go ahead and underline, be an example. But also know this, this verse a lot of times is used for, students and really young people, just because of that first line, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young." To be honest with you, everything in this verse is applicable for all of us. And realistically, there's always someone older than you in this world. So you're young to them. So that works. But we cling to this truth, and I want us to learn from what Paul says here, because he gives us five things he says in this second half of this verse. He said, be an example to all believers, first, in what you say. Are you being an example in the things that you say, both in person and maybe stuff that you post online or whatever on social media? Like, are the words that are coming out of my mouth or that are being written down by my fingers, is that providing a good example for others? Next, Paul says, be an example in the way that you live, those choices and decisions that you make. Be an example in your love, what you care about and how you communicate it. Am I being an example in that way? Be an example in your faith. What are you trusting in? Where is your hope? Are you trusting in God, or are you trusting in stuff of the world to get you through things? What are we trusting in? Where is our hope? And finally, Paul says, are we being an example in your purity? In your thoughts and your actions. Listen to this in Philippians. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." I love that verse. That verse has been an anchor for me in a lot of times. I don't know about you, but there's just sometimes, especially at night when I'm laying down to go to sleep, I my mind starts wandering back and thinking about the day, and I start, and for some reason, focusing on like, you blew it here, or you didn't show enough patience here, you could have done this better, and it's just a dark place, and it just spirals. And then God, thankfully, more often than not, he'll bring this verse to mind and just that question of, "Hey, are you fixing your thoughts on good things, Jason?" And I'm like, "No, not really right now, God." And this verse is kind of that front door for his word, because it reminds me, hey, I need to be focusing on the good stuff. I need to be listening to God's voice in the midst of this. I need to ignore those other voices and listen to God's voice. Because when we constantly fix our thoughts on these things listed in this verse, we're going to be an example. We're going to stand out. Good things are going to happen. I'm going to be an example of trust and hope and faith when I'm able to focus here. The Bible talks about how we as Christians are called to be holy. And really, holy means set apart. We're called to be set apart. And I got to say, when Jesus is the voice you're listening to the most, that will set you apart. That's going to set us apart big time in this world, especially right now. It'll help us to be the example that we're called to be. The next way we can be a better part of the we is to be gracious. Be gracious. An important part of being a good teammate, so to speak, is to kind of operate and live with this perspective that I'm not perfect, and I don't expect anybody else to be either. I'm not perfect, so I can't expect anybody else to be either. So we live life with this kindness and this grace, and we should be quick to forgive and to be gracious and to not keep a list of wrongs. I don't know if you know people like this that literally pay attention to every bad thing you've done, and then at some point they just hammer you on it. That is not okay. That is not being gracious. That is the opposite of it, and that is damaging, and honestly, that is poisonous if you're doing that. And when we are able to extend grace, that grace and being gracious allows us to spark unity, and we come together even closer, and it draws us even closer and more tight-knit, which is what we want, right? Listen to this in Ephesians 4. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. So always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Making allowance for each other's faults. Underline that. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And then underline this. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Are we making allowance for each other's faults? Are we making every effort? Are you doing everything you can to keep yourselves united? If verse 32 says this, but instead be kind and compassionate toward one another. And here's the great question. Underline this. Has God graciously forgiven you? Here's your dose of perspective. Has God graciously forgiven me? Yes. We've all been forgiven. So then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. We got to learn to be gracious with one another, to have grace, to give grace. My wife is teaching me this all the time. We have two kids, a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. They're amazing. But as a parent, you kind of see things and you want the very best for your kids, and you don't want them to do the same things you did when you were growing up, right? You want better for them. And so you're trying to steer them away from it. So sometimes I can come down a little hard when they're doing something. I'm like, no, don't do that. You know, and she's like, hold on, man, they're 9 and 11. Like, Chris is able to help me kind of balance that out and see that I need to give more grace to them. And realistically, I need to give more grace to me as well, because they're learning how to be 9 and they're learning how to be 11. And God has blessed us with the ability to guide them through. But you don't have to be the hammer either. We got to be able to give grace, because grace is needed, and people grow when grace is given. People don't grow when they're just hammered again and again for their failures. Being gracious starts by just embracing that perspective that I'm not perfect. And if God can forgive me, if God can be gracious with me, then I most certainly can and should be gracious with others. It's not easy, but we need to, just like the verse said, make every effort to keep ourselves united and binding ourselves together with peace, because the lack of grace can lead to bitterness. The lack of grace, if we don't have it, it leads to resentment and anger and unforgiveness. And that is poisonous. If that's what's driving us, if that's what's driving you, we got to avoid that at all costs and seek to be gracious, quick to forgive. Next, if we want to be a great part of the we got to be selfless. I got to do what's best for the we. If I'm not selfless, then there is no we, all right? It's only me. There is no better together when we're selfish. It doesn't exist. We need to think about others more, and not just thinking about others, but think about ways to help people, to make other people successful, to celebrate them. Listen to this in Philippians 2. He says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Now, this isn't saying that you don't matter. We've already established that you matter, but what it's saying is, hey, don't focus on yourself so much. Be quick to notice the great things in other people. We're so focused on ourselves and our own little world, on what we control. We miss so many opportunities to care for people, to love people well. You know, I shared this before, but I can't get this vivid picture in my mind of anytime you're downtown Denver or anywhere you go, if you've seen a horse carriage pulled, like a horse and carriage, you know, and the horse is always pulling this buggy, and I shared this before, but they always have these blinders on, right? And the driver puts the blinders on so that the horse can just focus on what's in front of him. Because if they're not on, the horse is distracted by so many things, right? And it could be dangerous for the people. A lot of things could happen. So the horse wears blinders. Well, for us, that's not good. If we're walking around life with these blinders on, just focus on what we have to do, just focus on the stuff that we can control, we are missing everything. We're missing all of these opportunities to care for other people, to come alongside and champion other people, to do exactly what this verse says, to think of others and to treat others better and to take an interest in others. We can't do any of that when we're only focused on this. So don't miss what God has for you. We don't want to miss that. Next, write this down. We need to be aware and willing. You need to always be paying attention. Be aware of what's going on around you and be ready to participate in the appropriate way. Read the room. Read the situation when you walk in. Recognize this need and quickly move to address it. Be a helper if that's what's needed. Be a listener if that's what's needed. Be a leader if that's what's needed. Whatever is needed, be quick to jump to it. Be an encourager if that is what is needed. Just pay attention to the needs of others and be willing to do what's needed. In Romans 12, listen to this. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Underline that. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Let's look at that. Always. Okay, that's all the time. All right. Be eager. Okay, now I have to be happy about it too. Always be eager to practice hospitality. I say that in jest. There are some people I know in my life that are this way. Man, it is natural to them. Like anytime you spend time with them, they roll out the red carpet and they are just caring and welcoming and just over the top and amazing. Now, not a lot of us are like that. But just because we're not like that and that's not natural to us doesn't mean that that's not what we're called to do. It says right here, we got to always be eager, ready to practice hospitality. So how do we do that if that's not natural to us? I think the best way to do it is find someone who's good at it and watch them. Learn from them. Ask them. I guarantee you, if you ask someone who's good at hospitality, who's naturally hospitable, if you ask them, hey, what are some things I could do? I guarantee you, oh my gosh, you could do this, or you could do this, or you could do. They have a list. They go, I've never done this, but you could do this. It'd probably work for you. Like you can learn a ton from people if you just ask them. And so we got to do that. We got to make sure we do that because it's what we're called to do. And then listen to this. In verse 16, it says, live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful, underline that, mindful of another's worth as you are of your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset, thinking you're too important to serve others, but underline this, be willing. Be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. So we're mindful. Be mindful and aware and be willing. We need to be willing to step into whatever role is needed. Sometimes you're going to be the supporter and other times you're going to be the supported. All right, it happens all the time, every day, in different relationships, at different times. That we all play different roles. And so we need to be willing to step into whatever role we're called to play, whatever role is needed. And this doesn't mean that who you are and what you care about aren't important. It's just about recognizing that we're all a part of this we together and that we need each other. All right? So when we're aware and we're willing, the whole body is more successful. And next, we make a positive impact when we choose to love no matter what, to be love no matter what. This is not a slogan. This is our calling. We're called to love God and love others, and especially those we don't see eye to eye with. Love no matter what. Especially at times like these. Let me ask you a question. Are you praying for those that you don't agree with? Are you praying for those that you don't see eye to eye with? Are you praying for the leadership in this country, in the state? Are you doing those things? And let me say this, not prayers like, God, you need to fix them because they're obviously busted. Not that kind of prayer, all right? I mean, honest prayers of God, I pray that they meet your son. I pray that they find Jesus, because realistically, we're not going to change this world. Jesus is. Are you praying those kind of prayers? Let's bring it to a smaller scale. Are you praying for your boss? Are you praying for coworkers that maybe frustrate you? Family members, friends that frustrate you sometimes? Are you praying, if you're a student, are you praying for the kid at school that's just not nice? That's maybe mean to you or others? Are we praying for people in that way? Listen, we can't escape people that we don't agree with. We can't escape people that are different than us. And you know what? We shouldn't want to. We shouldn't want to. Do you remember what Jesus did with the people who were different than him? He had dinner with them. That's what he did. The people that thought different than Jesus and believed different things than Jesus, he ate dinner with them. He sought them out. He shocked everyone by going to hang out with people that were completely opposite of him. What an amazing example that provides for us to follow. Listen to this in Romans 12. Speak blessing, not cursing, over those who reject and persecute you. And then 17 and 18 says, never hold a grudge to try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Awesome. Do your best. Underline those three words. Do your best to live at peace with all people. Do your best to live at peace. Another translation says, do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. Let me ask you this. Are you doing your best to live at peace with people around you? Are you doing everything possible on your part to live at peace with everybody? Listen, I can tell you this. If you were here 3 weeks ago, I shared a little bit of my story, and I shared that I value peace a lot, that I am a peacemaker and hopefully a peacekeeper. And even I can tell you, I can't say that I am doing everything possible to promote peace around me, to have peace with everybody. Are you doing your best, or are you doing things that antagonize people? Are you doing things to make it worse? I'm friends with a lot of people on Facebook, and there's an awful lot of people out there that are not doing their best to keep the peace. There's a lot of people out there who are writing things to antagonize people, to poke the bear, so to speak. And sometimes they're not writing anything themselves. They just slip in a link to something. Oh, well, I didn't say anything. But you did, because you posted that link and that link said everything for you. If you can't, maybe for some people, who can't resist the urge to do that. Maybe doing your best, maybe doing everything possible on your part. Maybe that means just shutting down your Facebook. Because if you can't help it, that's going to be doing your best, is to shut that down. We have to choose to love no matter what. Listen to this in Romans 12. If your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch. Win him over with kindness, for your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience, and God will reward you with favor. Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. If your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch. We need to love no matter what. You know what that means? That means doing the right things. That means doing the right thing. Listen, we don't do the right thing because it feels good or it feels right. We do the right thing because it's the right thing. Sometimes we don't feel like being nice. I can't remember the last time I said, man, I really feel like taking my enemy out to lunch. I don't feel like doing that. But that doesn't matter. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to do the right thing because it's the right thing. And hopefully God brings those feelings later, but sometimes he might not. But we still got to do it. Right? We still got to do it. If we're ever going to have unity, if we're ever going to be a complete and healthy we have to choose to love always, no matter what, no matter who, no matter where or when or how. Love no matter what. And finally, as a part of the we need to be there. I need to just be there. If we want to better the we, you need to just be there, be present. And more than physically being there sometimes, just be a support, be a comfort, be reliable. Just be there. You know, as we close, I want to look at two examples of this in Scripture, two pictures that are amazing pictures of what it looks like to truly be there for someone. What it looks like to be there, to strengthen the body of Christ. The first is this. There was a man named Job, lived a long time ago. And Job, the Bible says he was an amazing, godly man. They said he was rich. He had 10 kids, over 10,000 cattle, tons of servants. Like, he had everything that you could ever hope to want. And in one day, it was all taken from him. Gone. Like that. Can you imagine? And just picture the things that are most important to you in life. Here today, gone like that. That's what happened to Job. I want you to hear something. This is what happened when his friends heard about that. When three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and they traveled from their homes to comfort and console him. They sat on the ground with him for 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. Job's friends sat silent with him for a week. They didn't say a word. They were just there. They didn't try to fix him. They didn't try to cheer him up. They were just there. And you know what he knew? You know what? Job knew in that moment, as broken as he was, he knew that he wasn't alone. He knew that he had people that were going to be there for him and go through this with him. And they weren't perfect, but they were there. And you can look at this and you can read this and you'd be like, they didn't do anything. They were just sitting there. I'm like, they did everything. They were there for him. Do the people in your life know that no matter what happens to them, you're going to be there? That you're going to walk with them. You're going to sit with them. that you're not going to try and fix them or just cheer them up, but you're just going to be there with them. Do they know that? Because that's what we is supposed to look like. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to look like, united, together, whatever comes, no matter what. The second example of this I want to look at comes from the book of Daniel. And Daniel had these three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those friends were pretty high up in the government. They were pretty successful, but they were godly men. And one day the King Nebuchadnezzar, built a 90-foot tall golden idol. That's big. And he ordered everyone in the kingdom to bow down to this idol. And he said, if you don't bow down to this idol, I'm going to throw you in the furnace and you're going to burn up and die. And so the day came, he said, hey, let's bow down to this idol. And everyone bowed down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And some of the other government officials saw them not bowing. And they just went and tattletaled on them, basically. They went to Nebuchadnezzar and said, hey, these guys did this. And he was furious. So he called the men. And he gave them one more chance. He said, hey, I'm going to give you another chance. You bow to this idol and we're fine. If you don't, I'm going to throw you in the furnace. And they said, no. Listen to this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. I'm going to stop right there. I love this. Our God, if you do that, if you throw us in there, our God's able to save us. What faith that is. But they also said, but you know what? If he chooses not to, we're still not going to do this because we know this is right. It's not right to bow down to this, so we're going to stand up for that. I love that. So they said that to him, and Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up, and they threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, don't miss this, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. That's how hot it was. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, they fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Well, yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Well, look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted. I see 4 men, unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. That's awesome. You need to know that wasn't an angel. That was Jesus in the flesh in that fire with them. That was Jesus with them. And really, he was always with them. He just chose to show himself there. He's always with us. He's always with you. Through every fire, through every storm, through every celebration, he gets it. He's just there. He's there for us. He understands the importance of we, of being together, that we're better together. He gets it, and he's there, and he's always there for you. He's at the very core of we. He's at the very center of it all. Remember that first verse, we have been mingled together in one body in Christ. We are never alone. You are never alone. Jesus is the glue that holds us together. He's our hope in the midst of all this craziness. And all that we've talked about today, the importance of unity, all that we've talked about, this call that we need to be you. I need to be me. And we need to be an example and be gracious and be selfless and to be aware and willing. That we need to be love no matter what. And that we need to be there. All of that points back to him and his love for us, because he is all of those things to us. And he's so much more. That's who Jesus is. Do you know Jesus? If you don't know this about him, I got to tell you this. Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. He gave his life so that you could have life, so that we could have life. Because the Bible says when we're all born, we were born with sin. We are born broken. We are born infected with this disease called sin. And sin separates us from God's love. It separates us from spending eternity with him. It separates us from his grace and forgiveness. All of that stuff, we're separated when we're born. But God loves you so much that he couldn't bear to be separated. And so he did the only thing he could do. He sent his son Jesus, his perfect son, to this earth to die for your sins, to die for our sins, to pay the price once and for all for our sins. And he didn't only just die. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death once and for all. He did that for you and for me so that we could experience hope, so we could experience grace and forgiveness and freedom in this life, all because he loved you. And the Bible says to experience all of that, to experience grace and forgiveness, to know without a shadow of a doubt that we're going to spend forever in heaven. He says, all you have to do is believe in my son. Believe that Jesus loved you that much to do that for you. Nothing else. I think sometimes we become so distracted and we think, oh, I have to be good enough. I have to do this. I've been so bad. I don't think I qualify. That's not true at all. Jesus' grace, his forgiveness is for all of us. And it is there for you. And all you have to do is believe in him, that he loved you that much. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? If for the first time today that made sense to you, for the first time today you're saying, yeah, I want to place my faith in Jesus. I believe that he did that for me. I believe that he loved me that much, that he didn't want to be separated from me, but that he wanted me to spend forever with him in heaven. So I believe that he died for me. If that was you today, man, I want to celebrate you. I want to celebrate you. In just a moment, all heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. In just a moment, I'm going to have you slip up your hand right where you are. Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know that today you're saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And for the first time, you're placing your faith in him. And so if today that was you, if you placed your faith in Jesus, would you just slip your hand up? Those of you watching at home, I encourage you in the same way. If you placed your faith in Jesus today, we would love to know who you are. And you can let us know that. If you wouldn't mind at some point today, just shooting a text, just texting the word believe to the number 313131. If you text that word, someone will be in touch with you, answer any questions that you might have about this new journey of faith that you're on and anything else. And let me pray for all of us. Father God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you that you are just there with us every step of every day. Through the fire, through the joy, you are with us. And God, my prayer is for all of us as we seek to be a better part of the we, of the body of Christ. Lord, help us to be confident in who we are, to embrace the fact that you made us uniquely and special, to not conform or hide that, but to embrace it. Lord, help us to be an example. Help us to be gracious and selfless and to be aware and willing and to be able to love no matter what and to just be there. Help us to do all of those things, God. And thank you for being there for us. Thank you for being there with us. Thank you for loving us every step of the way. Thank you that we are not alone in this world, but that we are part of a much greater body of Christ, part of a we. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.